I'm going to introduce to you, very shortly she'll come up, is Julia Roble. And I want to say a couple things about her. One thing I could tell you is that this is a girl, young lady now, who's overcome a lot and has had a lot of challenges and has really gripped to the Word of God that she has been taught all these years. And she's dynamic, and there's never a dull moment when you're around Julia, that's for sure. You know, but it's really great to see her growth. It's a joy for me personally as well to see how she's really taken this Word of God to a level in her life, made it her own, and is helping people and has helped people and continues to do so. And that's one of her biggest desires. So without further ado, Miss Julia Roble, come on up.
You guys can sit. How are we? Okay, so we've heard a lot of the word in a day and a half, kind of, really. We've heard three phenomenal teachings about how simple believing is, how simple God's love is, and how simple the Spirit of God is in us. So, let's get started. Thanks, Dean, for asking me to share. It's a privilege, it's an honor, and I am very thankful that I am able to. And with my teaching, my goal and my prayer is that you know who you are, and you know who God has made you to be, but not only that you know it, but that you believe it, and you walk out knowing who God has made you to be. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of your Bible. And we are going to read verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So in the very beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Why? Someone give me one good reason why. Andres.
To have a relationship with us.
Right, to have a relationship with us. God created the heaven and the earth for us. Not for trees, not for monkeys, not for fish, but for us. His desire was a family. His desire was us. That is why this world was created. That is why we are here. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So God chose you, specifically you, Tim, specifically you, Ariel, specifically you, Jacob, specifically you, Izzy. He chose you before the foundation of the world. That is how important we are to God. That is how much God desired to have you in his family. Before the foundation of the world, you are already in God's mind. So let's go to John 3. We were in God's heart from the very beginning. We were in God's heart. John chapter 3, and we are going to read verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The word world here is people. That is who God's all about, people. That's the reason why this earth was created, why the heavens was created, why we were created, because God loved us. And not only that, he sent his only begotten Son to die for us, not to condemn us, not for us to just be left here stranded and perished, but so we could be saved, so we could be made whole, so we could have everlasting life. That is who your God is. God said in the manifestations today that he's a personal God. This is who your God is. And you either can believe it or not. But God didn't stop there with how great this life already is for us. So we're going to go to John 10:10. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So the thief here is the adversary, the one that rules the world. He's only here for killing, for stealing, and destroying. That is all he is good at, and that's his whole goal. That's his purpose. But is that God's purpose? Is that why he sent his son? No, he sent his son so that we could live a more than abundant life. More than an abundant life. And life in all of its manifestation. That is who your God is. He is a good God. Romans chapter 10. Verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we believed, right? We all believed. We're all saved, right? Life is good. Life is pretty good. We all believed. We're all saved. Life is great. Because we have a really great God who really, really loves us. But it gets better than just everlasting life. How does it get better? Because God is so great, and he loves us. Colossians 1. We believe something, like, ridiculous. Really ridiculous. And God just does so much for us. Christ is coming back, right? But in the meantime, where is Christ? Yes. Right. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what?
Christ in you.
The hope of glory. So it's God in Christ in you. That's who you are. That is your true identity. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. And every single one of us, it's God in Christ in us. Wherever you go, God goes. Whatever room you are in, there is Jesus Christ. That is how important your life is. That's how important your life is. There is a reason why you are on this earth. There is a reason why God called you to be a part of his family. There is a reason why God created the heaven and the earth, and it is you. So I'm going to ask you, do you know who you truly are? Romans chapter 10. We're going to go back there. And we're going to read verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That's very simple. When you believe the word of God, you will never be ashamed because God is faithful. Because your personal God is a faithful God. He's never going to let you be ashamed, ever. So when we believe what the word says about us, we will never be ashamed. So who did God make us to be? That's a really great question. I mean, who did God make us to be? We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're God's masterpiece. That word workmanship is masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. So when you look in the mirror, guess what you see? God's masterpiece. You don't see your past.
You don't see your faults. You don't see your mistakes. You don't see your pimples. You don't see the mustache that you have to shave every day.
You see God's masterpiece. That was a personal blow to me, by the way. Not to anyone else, but that was for me.
So we're God's masterpiece. That is who we are. And we better believe that. If you can believe that God raised Jesus Christ up from the dead, then you can believe that you are God's masterpiece. And Ephesians 1:6, right around the corner. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted. We are agreeable with God. We are agreeable to God. God has accepted us. And not only that, we are accepted into God's love. This is how tremendous our God is. He's a good God. Romans 8. We were accepted into God's family. You know how crazy that is? Romans 8, and we are going to read verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. For I am persuaded. I am more than a conqueror. I am a super conqueror, and I am victorious. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, that covers pretty much everything, can separate me from the love of God. That's what you say to yourself, because that's who you are. This is who God has made you to be. This is what Christ accomplished for us. This is our true identity. And it's pretty cool. There's a lot of heart behind this. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Whatever you've done, whatever you will do, will not separate you from God's love. He's not a God that will just walk away from you. It's impossible for him to do that because he loves you. Let's go to John 16. John 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we are more than a conqueror, because it's Christ in us, and Jesus Christ overcame the world. He kicked the devil's butt. I would curse if I can, but he kicked the devil's butt. He's been defeated. It's done. The battle's over. Jesus Christ won it. We will have peace in this life. That's a promise. But we will also have tribulation because it's the world. So we need to believe who we are, because the adversary comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Not trees, not the monkey ladder, the word. He comes to take that away from us. So we have to be sharp. We have to wake up. That is what we have to do. We have to wake up and know who we are. 1 John 4. And verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you have overcome the world. This world's not your home. You're just passing through it. There is a greater home waiting for you, but you've overcome this one. The battlefield is in the mind. The battlefield is not on earth. It's, well, it is, but it's all spiritual. and it's in your mind. You've overcome the world. You've got it. You can believe that you will be fine. Tim shared that. Tim shared that you are more than a conqueror. You just gotta believe it. There is therefore now no condemnation. You just gotta believe it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are as righteous as God. And I mean that, not because I'm really great, but because God's really great, and he said it in his word, and God is not a man that he shall lie. We are as righteous as God. Today, tomorrow, the next day, the next second, the next minute, the next year. We are as righteous as God. Don't let that get robbed from you. Don't let that get stolen from you. In here, you are as righteous as God. We stand right. That is our standing. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we are forgiven, and that's a huge comfort. And I will speak for myself, and I will say, I make mistakes all the time. And because I'm very loud, I know that I make mistakes a lot because I get told very quickly, which is true. But imagine if God didn't forgive me. Where would I be? Stranded. I would be stranded. But God loves me, and he forgives me, which means, in turn, he forgives you for everything. God forgives us. This is what Christ accomplished for us. We are forgiven. That is who we are. We're forgiven people. And in Psalm 103:12, it says that God has removed our transgressions, our sins, our faults, our mistakes, as far as the east is from the west. They will never touch. That is how far our sin is from ourselves when it comes to God. You know who's going to bring up our mistakes? You. You are. You're going to be like, man, I really messed up. Cool. Walk it off. You're forgiven. When you look in the mirror, you tell yourself you're forgiven. So God doesn't care where you have been, what you have done, and if you still don't believe me, there was a man named Paul who had the worst past I think I've ever heard. And God gave him the greatest amount of revelation in the early church. So we're going to start in Philippians chapter 3. Paul was a man that was really qualified. He was a man that was feared, and not in the respected way. I mean, he also was too, I guess, but he was feared. He was fearsome. He was a name you didn't want to hear. He was a person you didn't want to be around. But to religious people, he was the best of the best. He was the top dog. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 5, this is about Paul. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So Paul was qualified. He was as righteous as a religious person could get. He checked off each and every single box. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Verse 3. As for Saul, aka Paul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling women, men and women, committed them to prison. So havoc means to ravage, to devastate. That is what Paul caused. He caused devastation. He dragged people to their punishment. He dragged people to prison. This is what he did. This is the guy that also got the revelation of the mystery. Keep that in your back pocket. And we're going to go to Acts 9 now. We're going to start in verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. So Paul was breathing out threatenings. And do you know what that means? He was breathing out slaughter, killing. He was telling people, go over there, that's a believer's home, get them out, kill them, do whatever you want to them. That is what Paul was doing. He had the A-OK to do that because he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a righteous, religious man. That is who he was. And people would just listen. They would get up and go, and they would not question him. Let's keep reading. Verse 2, and desired of him letters to Damascus of the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Paul arose. So God is a God of hearts, right? You can't tell me otherwise, because Paul was a man that slaughtered believers. He had that right. And yet, Paul got up and went. God's a pretty good God, because he looked on Paul's heart. He saw Paul's heart. And I'm not sure, but I'm going to say that he probably was misled. I'm sure Paul was definitely misled. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. Then straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So something changed in Paul. He immediately started to preach that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The same thing that he had believers killed over. That is Paul. This is a man that had emotions, a man that had a brain, a man that had a mind. This was a man who had a really bad past. This was Paul. But do you think that if Paul just didn't listen to God, what do you think would happen? Would we have all the church epistles? I don't know, but Paul was the one that wrote them. So something had to happen in Paul's mind for him to say to himself, my past is in the past. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verses 8 and 9. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things. So Paul knew who he was prior to that day. He knew his past. He was a man. You don't think he was tempted? You don't think he was tempted to say, I'm a hypocrite, I'm a liar? You don't think he was able, like, you don't think in his mind he didn't do that? His mind definitely did that. But he knew what God's word said. He knew who he was. He knew what happened the day that Ananias healed him. Because he was healed. He was delivered. He accepted God's word, and he believed it. And he walked out on it. And if you read Acts, which you can do, because you can read your own Bible on your own, he was a great man.
He was a great man. He didn't let his past stop him. So how did Paul do this? Because honestly, we need to know. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. That is how Paul did it. The word forget or forgot means to neglect, to no longer pay attention to. How many of you guys have killed a plant? How many of you guys have forgotten to like flush the toilet? Like a little bit of pee-pee, a little bit of poo-poo, okay? That's neglect, right? That's neglect. There are some people that I know that have done that. That's called neglect. You forgot about it. You walked away from it. It no longer was in your mind. You don't remember. That's what Paul did with his past, which means it's available for us to forget our past. I am going to say that again. It is available for you to forget your past. It is available for you to overcome your mind and forget who you were prior to making God's word your own. It's available. You press towards the high calling. You press towards who God has made you to be. You steal your mind with the word and you don't let it go. That is how Paul no longer cared about his past and moved forward. Romans 8:1, we don't have to go there. We know that it says there is therefore now no condemnation. It's not available. It's not available. There's no room for condemnation. It's okay. You made a mistake. You're not Jesus Christ. You're not perfect. None of us are. That's okay. We're not supposed to be. If God wanted us to be perfect, we would have been perfect. Don't let condemnation rip you from God's word. Don't let condemnation stop you from believing who you are. The past is in the past. It's forgotten. It's neglected. It's before and it's way past. Paul was tempted. He had to have been. He was a man. He was a man that did tremendous things for God. But he didn't let things like that in his mind stop him. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down means to take down, to demolish. Like, you ever see like a building that demolished, like one day it's up, the next day it's like dust? That's what we do with our thoughts. We grab them and we demolish them. We bring it back to God's word. I suck. No, you don't. We don't. We have God in Christ in us. I made a mistake. Welcome to the club. Get in line. It's a very long line. But I just did X, Y, and Z. I don't care. God forgives you. Grab your mind. It is one thought at a time. And some days it's going to be really easy. And some days it's not. But you fight. You fight the good fight of faith. You fight for who you are. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we study the word. Sure, Paul did that. And we know what the word says about us. It's great to hear that we're righteous. It's great to hear that we're forgiven. But know it. Know it. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing what?
Word of God.
Read it. Make it your own. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse Verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, in purity. You let no one, not even yourself, talk you out of doing God's word because of your age. It does not matter if you were born again when you were 4 or when you were 60. You have the same ability as everyone else. There's no favoritism when it comes to God's word. Don't talk yourself out of doing God's word. Just because you are 12 or 14 or 37, you can still do God's word just like everyone else. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, this is just all things that we need to do in order to steel our mind to God's word, in order to believe who we are. And it's all very simple things, and it's all things that we know, but it's not bad to be reminded of it. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we put on the new man. Why do we want to smell like a dead body? I personally don't. I hate when I smell really bad, and currently I probably do. So we have to take off the old man. You take off the bad stuff. The bad stuff is your flesh. You can't take off your flesh, but you know what I mean. We take it off and we put on God's word. And it's as simple as that. Just like I said before, you cast down those thoughts. You grab hold of your mind and you wake up and you say, I am a son of God with all power. I am what the word of God says I am. I will be what the word of God says I'll be. I have what the word of God says. That's who you are. So do you believe who God has made you to be? Do you believe who God has made you to be? Are we awake tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we put on the mind of Christ. It's available. It's available to have the mind of Christ. You can have the same thoughts as him. You can say exactly what Jesus Christ said. You can heal people. You can forgive people too, because Jesus Christ had to do that a lot. You can raise people from the dead. You can pray for someone and their needs can get met. This is who you are. This is who God's made you to be. This is why God created the heaven and the earth. For this exact reason, for you to get up and go and take care of God's people. The world needs you. And you need yourself. You can't go somewhere without yourself, right? Right. So you need yourself. You have to be kind to yourself. We're told to love other people. That's how people will know that we're God's kids. But it also says that you love your neighbor as thyself. If you're not kind to yourself, you cannot be kind to other people. Learn to love yourself. Learn to see yourself as Christ. Learn to see God's masterpiece. This is who you are. God created this earth so that you could live a more than abundant life, so that you could have your needs taken care of. That's why we're here, so that we can be taken care of and in turn take care of the people that are hungering and thirsting after God's word. We are needed. We are important. Romans chapter 10. Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?
Word of God.
And that's how simple life is. You hear the word of God, so you believe the word of God. It's your choice. It is your choice. But in order to know who you truly are, you have to read God's word. You have to learn God's word. God is not a man. He's not going to lie. He is not going to make mistakes. So what his word says about you, it is the absolute truth. Whatever your mind says about you is probably not. God's word is the truth. Not just the truth about everything else, but it's also the truth about you. So we're going to close in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The word profession is confession. You confess what you believe, right? Right?
Yes.
Okay. So we need to get the word in our heads. We need to get the word in our heads. It's great that we have these weekends. It really is. It's a life-changing weekend. But on your own, get the word in your head. The past is in the past. It's not who you are. God's word is who you are. God's word is what you were made to be. You were made to be more than a conqueror. If God says we're righteous, then we're what?
Righteous.
If God says we're forgiven, then we're what?
Forgiven.
If God says that we're his masterpiece, then we're what?
His masterpiece.
If God says we're his conqueror, we're what? His conqueror. We are on this earth for a reason. We've overcome the world for sure, but we have a lot to take care of. Not only ourselves, but other people. People need us. So we got to get our stuff together so we can take care of other people. We have to believe who we are. We have to know who we are. We have to walk out more than a conqueror and show the world what God has given us. And a little closing. You cannot be defeated when you confess and believe what God's word says about you. So it is time to fight for yourself. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.